It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to talk some Mets, Yankees, Mike Brown, higher. It's all out there for you, 888-808-1019. We'll get some calls in this hour, and you can also listen to Boomer and Geo on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn app. So we are available in couple other places as of a few days ago, including the iHeart and TuneIn apps, in addition to our Odyssey app. Do you watch the hot dog eating contest? I feel like you don't watch the hot dog eating contest. Yeah, I've checked in on it years, you know, when Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut were going at each other, like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I checked in on those. And then last year it fell flat, totally flat.
Well, he's back now, Tony.
Chestnut was out.
Back. Yeah, I know, but he's back this year.
He's back this year. And then the guy who won last year's got no chance now. No chance whatsoever. So I feel like I got to watch Chestnut come back and then destroy this guy. I'm going to have to watch this one. This one's got me because this guy, Bertolelli or whatever, Bertoletti.
Yeah.
58 dogs last year.
Yeah.
Chestnut's going to get to 80 this year. You watch.
Yeah, I think he got to 78 or 76 or something.
Oh, my God. Just insane. Remember when I tried to eat those buffalo wings? We had that an EMT in here.
Thank God I wasn't nuts.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I can laugh now, I guess. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan. We'll get some calls in. Sherman in Manhattan. What's going on, Sherman?
Barnacle Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah.
What up, Sherman?
It's funny. You guys will find it's funny you're talking suffocating, eating. You'll find out in a minute. So I was talking to Al, being the AA Mets guy that he is. The Mets have a guy, a pitcher, a starter in AA, Jonah Tong. And you guys are talking about recently how there's no good nicknames in baseball anymore.
Yeah.
I think he's got a real opportunity here for you for a couple of reasons. One, Al can do a Jonah Tong song. Tong, 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 tong. Two, the first time I heard his name, at least, it kind of sounded like Jonah Tong, Tong. Human power tool. How about that?
The human power tool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, Sherman seems like a very good listener.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, Tong to Tong, 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 which I've told you that Tong song was my class of 2000's class favorite song, which is something that will follow us around forever as a miserable choice. That Cisco Thong song cannot be your class song of 2000.
I don't remember. I think one of our class songs, I think, and maybe one of my ex, high school alum could. I think it was Elton John. I think.
Okay.
The Elton John of maybe could have been in "Candle in the Wind." Maybe
"Candle in the Wind." No,
that could have been our song. I'm not sure.
Wasn't "Candle in the Wind" like later when Princess Diana died? Didn't he write that for Princess Diana?
No, it was actually an old Elton John song that came back after Princess Diana died.
So we were 1979 was our graduating class. I kind of feel like in our prom that year, it was like, I want to say "Candle in the Wind," but I'm not sure.
If it was "Candle in the Wind," I think I would actually take the Thong song over that because at least ours was fun, you know? "Candle in the Wind" is depressing. It's about someone who gets snuffed out too young.
I have no idea why I just thought of that.
Well, because I brought up class song and you were thinking of yours.
Yeah, but I don't, like, I mean, it could have been "Yellow Brick Road." I don't know.
I mean, I have to tell you that of all the songs, that could be the worst choice out of any senior class song because it's about, is it technically about young people dying before they should? I mean, you cannot come up with a worse song for a graduation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
So it was written in 73, Fleegs is telling
me. Okay, so
and,
there was a potential.
And it was about Marilyn Monroe who died young.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that? I mean, you might as well do that Eric Clapton song about the, you know, that horrible one, "To Only Meet You in Heaven." I mean, I guess that wasn't available in 1978,
39. No. I don't know if this was or not. But
God,
hold on, Boomer. The prom is starting.
What's that?
He said, "Hold on, Boomer. The prom is starting."
Okay.
I mean, this is the most depressing stuff.
I don't know. Maybe
somebody. Captain somebody, Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Captain Dave.
He'll remember.
He'll know.
Captain Dave Anderson graduated with Boomer. He'll remember the class song. He always listens unless he's too busy fixing a boat somewhere. But I'll text him if he's not listening. You got to find out what your class song is. Because if it's Candle in the Wind,
I kind of think or remember it to be a Elton John song. I'm just not sure which one.
It couldn't have been like
Maybe
Benny
I
and the
be
Jets.
Totally
didn't make any, that didn't make any sense. Benny and the
Crocodile Rock.
Do you remember your senior class song, Al?
I don't.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Captain Dave,
in the wind.
He probably has our yearbook.
Oh, I'm sure he looks at it every day, you know, going back. It's got to be. He's got to have a yearbook around somewhere. But, yeah, I really thought that the Thong Song was the worst one. We'll see. We'll confirm if it was Candle in the Wind.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I mean, I understand that, you know, it can get a little sad when you're leaving your high school buddies, but, I mean, Candle in the Wind. Let's go to, Henry in Queens back, yeah. The number one Tibbs hater. What's going on, Henry?
Yes. Top of the morning, fellas. Top of the morning.
How you Rise feeling today, shine. Henry?
Hey, listen, G.O.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong on this because I don't go this way. Hmm. But when you told Tracy that you was thinking about her the other day, wasn't you thinking about me yesterday when they got Mike Brown?
You know what, Henry? I have thought about you. I didn't think about you yesterday, but I have thought about you post your phone call because you definitely stuck around in my mind with your argument against Tom Thibodeau for sure.
Okay, so now
I know what I thought of you, Henry. Sorry to cut you off. You know what I thought of you? I thought of you when they fired Tibbs because you called before and were insisting upon him getting fired, and then we fought back. And then when he got fired, I was like, that guy Henry's going to call in and say, "I told you so."
That's right. And you know who they need? Dolan needs to sell that team. You said Mike Malone was a good coach. He is a good coach, and he won championship. Dolan is not going to hire him.
Well, I mean,
and Leon Woods, they need to go, and then we'll have the perfect team.
All right, so now you are funny. Now you are effective with the coach. Now you're going to try to see if you can get Dolan to sell the team and then fire the front office.
It starts at the top, and then they said cut the snake head off and bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Dolan don't care nothing about that team. Dolan care about that money.
Well, I mean, the more successful they are, as we saw throughout the playoffs this year, the more money they're going to make. Henry, how old are you? Just for
1 year old.
Huh?
Just retired.
How many did you cut out?
Excuse me?
Hey, you cut out with your age. You say 61?
Yeah, birthday was June 17th.
All right.
All right, so you're basically, you know, my era, and we remember the great teams of the, you know, late 60s and 70s, and we went through the Patrick Ewing era together, and then we had the dark years, about 25 dark years. I would say, as an older Knick fan, you would think, and I would think, that this is actually a good thing, that there is some stability here at the top of the franchise.
Okay. That's what you say.
I don't, okay.
But now listen to this.
Yeah.
I'm glad Toppin and Hartenstein was in that championship. Every time Dolan gets rid of a player, either they come back and kick us in our butt or they win a championship. And now Hartenstein, all he was asking for, he said he wanted to feed his family. Dolan wouldn't give him that money. So now he had to go out there and get the money.
But they
and he won a championship.
Yeah, but they couldn't keep Isaiah. They couldn't keep him because the Oklahoma City Thunder were able to pay him more money.
Well, and that's why he left. But now what's the situation with Toppin?
Well, that's a different situation. Well, I think that they had that he couldn't play with Julius Randle. I mean, they had to decide Julius Randle or Obi Toppin.
But I told you that. I said they need to get rid of Randle and Tom Thibodeau. Randle was throwing the ball in the audience.
Yeah, he was. Anyway, we were down with you on that one, for sure.
I say this, Cardinal Sin, do not leave your feet. When you're passing that ball, he'll jump up in there and throw it to Spike Lee.
Well, listen, Henry, are you happier today that Mike Brown is the coach, or did you want somebody else?
No. You know what? I want to ask you a question. I don't want to hold you up. I'm happy with Mike Brown.
Okay.
His offense is good and everything. But I think Don Staley would have did a good job also.
Okay. Well, we disagree on that one, Henry, and have a great 4th of July weekend. I'm okay with Mike Brown. A lot of pressure. I hope he ends up being a success. Love the experience, which is something I thought was a prerequisite for this group. So Captain Dave Anderson, he did text me about what your class song was. He goes, I don't know, but it's definitely not Candle in the Wind. But he said, I think it might have been this one that we found. So let's play that.
Maybe the only more depressing song, yes, than Candle in the Wind.
I know this was after 1979. Everybody Hurts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is what I feel like. If you're going to take a hose from your exhaust into your window, this is the song that you play in your garage. Like, this is the one. Woo! All right, that's enough.
I'll ask somebody else. I can only think of somebody else that would be smart enough to know this.
Chris?
No, he was a year older than me.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I thought he was your age. All right. Oh, man. Now I'm hoping it's Candle in the Wind. I mean, I don't even know where my yearbook is. I told you it was a 25th reunion situation that had happened. I did not go to. I saw pictures from it. There was about 15 people that showed up. It was this past weekend, actually.
And you didn't go?
No.
I think people were probably disappointed.
No. It was thin turnout. Very thin. So I'm glad.
Would they have it at the Marriott Ronkonkoma?
No, Painters.
Oh, Painters. That's right. You told me Painters.
Right. They added a Painters. It was really, I mean, there was a couple guys that I would have been interesting to talk to that guy. But yeah, I don't know. You probably have this experience, too, where, like, there was someone you grew up all through school with, every single grade, everything, all those years. And then you graduate, and you never see him again, and you never think about him again. And then you see a picture going, oh, my God, that's right. That guy exists. I have totally forgot. Like, if I didn't see that picture, I would have never remembered this one guy ever. It's just, I don't know. It's only 25 years ago.
Ah, got an answer.
Oh!
Got an answer.
All right, and this is accurate?
This is 100% accurate.
Okay.
I trust this person totally.
All right.
I said, did our senior class have a song?
Mm-hmm.
And they replied, yes. Beatles, In My Life.
Oh, I mean, that's the classic one. Everybody does that.
Oh, now we got something wrong with it. I thought it was Elton
John. There's nothing
John.
Wrong with I, it. It's just, you know. it's just common, you know? That's what
oh,
it
I'm
is.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, yeah.
I mean, just basic. Totally shoot me down.
You guys are basic. I mean,
listen, we
Thong Song's embarrassing, but it's different.
Yeah, I didn't know, but now I found out.
Yeah, that song, that still gets played, like, during graduations every year. And there's a Maroon 5 one now that's huge. There's a Maroon 5 graduation song that you hear all the time this time of year. And I got multiple. I told you this before. I got a lot of friends in Sayville that have their kids graduating. There are graduation parties, everywhere in the neighborhood. I got two more coming up next couple of days.
Congratulations, 2025. You see those signs all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. And you also, you know what you also see is a lot of empty Surfside cans in the streets. You always got to pick up one of those out of a bush every now and again.
Is this the Maroon 5 one?
Yeah, yeah.
Memories?
Yeah. This is it, yeah. This is your graduation song.
Here's to the one who got...
It's like a... Like, you'd see, like, a montage, like, slow motion stuff, like, people, like, hugging each other, you know, going down the hallways, teacher waving, you know, parking lots leaving. There's a bus, maybe, like, a montage of a kid when he was younger in fifth grade and as a senior. This is the one. This is the 2025 basic one now. This is the equivalent of what your class did with the basic Beatles song.
Oh, you know what? Stop. Stop. You know, I'm really getting annoyed.
Fleeks, the graduation song, that was, that had
I Googled
to be later.
It. It came out in 1999.
Oh,
so
really?
So maybe it was too new for your school to latch on to, because I graduated high school in 2009, and that was absolutely played.
I can't believe that was 99. Well, maybe 99 had it as their class song. I mean, we were thong
Taylor
song.
Swift sing a song or something that some of these classes would use or no?
I'm sure. But we're just talking
songs
basic.
But like there are like the graduation song, it's named graduation. It's a go-to.
Yeah. I mean, it's like what you guys did with your class song is like when people start the weddings with the Black Eyed Peas, tonight's going to be a good night. Like that's what you guys did.
Yeah, so what?
Just saying. I'm just giving you an indication how basic it was. That's all.
I sense a tinge of just sarcasm coming out of you.
Listen,
and I'm not appreciative of it.
You know how many times that you have trashed Bellport over the years with our rivalry?
I've never trashed Bellport.
Oh, we beat Bellport all the time, and we didn't do that. It's what you did over there at Bellport. I can get a little bit back occasionally.
You know what?
I can get back.
Here's this thing.
Yeah.
You have this thing.
Uh-huh.
You have this perception. And you did it yesterday to me.
Oh, no, I've got facts to back that up. Facts.
You did it to me yesterday. Facts. And the guy that we were playing golf with said, man, do you really feel that way? I'm like, no, that's what he thinks I feel. That's not what
I got facts. I have multiple facts. You're doing it. You're doing something to make me think that. You know what? I'm telling you. And it only happened. You want to do this?
You're ridiculous.
All right.
It's so ridiculous.
But it's not. Maybe you're subconsciously doing it. You don't realize you're doing it.
No, you're subconsciously
No.
Because you're like so dramatic
all right,
for this.
All right. Here. I'll tell the story as is. Okay. Because I remember each and every instance.
And by the way, every time you tell this story, I'm like, what the F are you talking about?
All right.
Where is this?
I'll tell you where it's coming from. All right. So it's if you happen to have a bad shot or two, when I come up to hit after you, you are hoping it's not a good shot because you have declared with the ball in the air or the ball being put, you have a negative comment while it's in the air only after your bad shots. So, for example, 17 Bethpage Black. You put it in a bunker. Your partner puts it in a bunker. I get up there. I take more club. I hit it. You go, that's bunker two. It wasn't. It hit the green. Did go off into the fringe, off the green, but it didn't go in the bunker. You were hoping for bunker, just like you and your partner. Then on the hole that you were out of, that other par three, you hit one in the water and then into the woods. I get on there. Well, I got to the right, chip on, have a long putt. Second, I hit the putt. Whoa, that's too fast. In the hole. Then, yesterday, you hit one in the bunker. I hit it next. You go, that's bunker. And it was on the green. And if you hit a great shot, then I hit a good shot. Then you're like, oh, that was great. It's only when you have a negative thing. Am I not the most perceptive guy around? Did I not know that Larry in Indiana was in jail and was a recovering alcoholic just by looking at him? I can sniff these things. Yeah, you're not maybe consciously doing it, but it comes out in those instances. I'm telling you.
So here I am, just in an argument from my side
gotcha.
Of things.
Yeah.
Here I am watching Wally basically insult you after every shot in one of the rounds that we're playing against, and I have to pull Wally aside and say, Wally, this is not good. This
You're
is
right.
not going to help him.
You're right.
We need to support him as he is growing into the game of golf. He loves the game. He respects the game, and I think you're being a little too tough on him. Now, I had to pull him aside and say, I wouldn't say that in front of you.
I know. But you told me.
And every time we play, whether we are on the same team or we're not on the same team, I support everything that you do. I mean, like,
you do support me. I didn't say you don't support me. I'm saying in those instances.
Hold on. No. I never said you didn't support. You've given me opportunities I never would have had, and you supported this game and brought me along.
Look at that reaction.
Well, I made a great putt. We were on the same team. But 99% of the time, you are the most supportive guy I play with. In these instances, just this little time, if you hit a bad shot before me.
I thought yesterday the ball that you hit onto the green was short. I thought it was short. I thought it was.
But you also thought 17 was short. You also thought that putt was short.
All right, so that's two holes out of the thousand of holes that we played where I said I thought that was short.
But here's the thing. You don't hit a lot of bad shots. So it only happens occasionally when you hit a bad shot and then I hit after you. Holy.
It's funny to me. It's funny, that's all. I'm not really like criticizing you here. I'm just saying it's funny.
You just gave me a goddamn headache.
Oh. Oh, my God. All right, we got to take a break. I actually wanted to go to a couple of the calls. So hang on, folks. We'll get to you at some point.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
This was our warm-up song for our basketball team at East Islip.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Yes, yeah. So this is fine. This is okay.
It is. Yeah, yeah. No, this is okay. Yeah. No, I didn't say what your graduation song was bad. I just said it was basic. I mean, you're the one who took that in a wrong way. I mean, what it is?
Really, really quick, and we'll get off this subject. Mark in Huntington. Mark, what's happening?
How's it going, Boomer? How's it going, Gio?
Hey, right. Mark.
Good. Graduating class of 1978 had two graduation songs, Beatles In My Life, and the second one must have been for the Stoners in the back. Leonard Skinner, Freebird.
Yeah, wow. See, I remember something about that, too. We had Stoners, too, at East Islip.
Yeah, I mean, Stoners were everywhere in the 70s, yeah, right?
I mean, we had the Greasers, the Stoners, the Jocks, the Nerds.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, really what it was.
Fast Times at
Ridgemont High, you know?
Yes.
When did the Greasers finally...
not stop being Greasers?
Yeah.
And then they became like... what do they call it? Goth?
yeah, right. Yeah. When did Greasers turn into goth? Grok? Can you tell me? Yeah. What do you think the golden age of Stoners was? Was it like then, like during the Cheech and Chong?
60s.
60s Cheech and Chong movies? Because it could be now.
I think it goes well into the 80s, but now it's legal.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But like, if you think nostalgic-wise, 60s, but it could be now.
Yeah, but I think of Peace, Love, and Weed when I think of like the late 60s and Woodstock and all that stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I'm with you. Heroin, LSD.
Oh, okay.
Silver lining guy right here.
Peace, Love, and LSD. Wasn't that it? Now it's ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca, yes. But, yeah, you can walk into a store now and buy some weed.
I actually got a one of those coupon cards sent to the house yesterday.
Oh, did you?
They said they came. I'm like, hey, weed, 30% off. You want to go? It's weird. Like, that's coming
I'm
to the house now.
I'm surprised that they...
smoking marijuana. Yeah, get a joint. Weed. Spliff. Bong. Hashish brick.
Hashish brick. Hashish brick. Anyway, yeah, 30% off. I'm surprised. These places are killing it in business. So you just take
first
advantage
purchase.
Of
first purchase.
Oh, just the first
they
one.
They got to get you in.
Get you in the door.
Yep.
All right, Jerry, what's going on?
We are brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. Mike Brown is going on. He'll be the next head coach of the Knicks. No idea when he'll be introduced, but it will be soon, you would certainly think. And the Lakers come to terms with DeAndre Ayton. Remember we played the clips of, I forget who it was, saying that people hated him.
Yes.
And he was a cancer in the locker room. Well, he's going to L.A.
Well, the Lakers needed a center.
You know, yeah, maybe, well, someone's going to sign, I'm sure.
Maybe now LeBron is happy.
Maybe now LeBron is happy, yes. You know who's not happy? The Yankees this morning, because they wake up having lost three straight games to the Blue Jays now. They are now tied for first place, and last night was bizarre. We'll take you in the early stages of this game.
That was his pitch hit up the middle, off the glove of Warren, deflects into right field. There comes a run around third. The play at the plate is not in time. And the base runner, Jimenez, moves up to second base. So Wagner came around to score.
And it was 8-0 Toronto in the early innings.
Terrible, 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 terrible.
Well, that was Dave Sims with the call here on The Fan. The Yankees, though, from 8-0 down, got it all the way back to 9-9 as Aaron Judge homered in the eighth to get it even. But then in the bottom half of the inning, not a good inning thrown by Devin Williams. The one-out walk to George Springer came back and bit him in the butt. Wild pitch. He scored from third, the go-ahead run, and then one batter later.
Here's a 3-2. Swing on it the other way. Base hit, left field. Laddie walks home, an insurance run. 11-9. Blue Jays, RBI by Barger, his fourth run batted in tonight.
Yeah, not too bad. 11-9 was the final as the Yankees did not come back in the ninth. And so at 48-38, we are all back to square atop the AL East. Here was Devin Williams, that damn eighth inning.
Yeah, I let Springer get away from me there. The intentional walk to the next guy. Sack by, we got two outs. I don't know. I thought I made some pretty solid pitches. Barger hit a pitch that was out of the zone.
For a base hit, that was a good pitch, but the pitch prior to it was not. He was asked, he said, that intentional walk to somebody. That was Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Were you prepared to go out, try to go after Vlad there, or were you okay with the intentional walk?
Oh, that's not my decision.
So that certainly did hurt them as well, and it was Ben Rice that was catching that had the ball go by him for a wild pitch, not a pass ball, but... I certainly understand if you want to call it that. Here was Rice. Did you think after Judge homered that you guys were coming all the way back for the win?
Yeah, we were. I think everyone was really excited. So, I mean, that was a big swing out of him.
But not to be the case. And so, Yankees have dropped 6 of 9, 13 of 19. They've got Clark Schmidt facing Chris Bassett tonight on the Fan at 7:05. Should mention Will Warren really struggled. No decision, 8 runs, 10 hits, 4 walks over 4 innings. Davis Schneider homered twice for Toronto and drove in 3. As for the Mets, this was the tale of 2 different games and a split doubleheader. We will start with the late game because that was positive. Brandon Nimmo, the grand slam in the second inning, followed up by one Francisco Lindor.
1-2 pitch, hit deep to right center. This ball's going out. Frelick back for a look. It's into the bullpen. Home run, Francisco Lindor. So Nimmo and Lindor flip-flop in the lineup by Mets manager Carlos Mendoza. Go back-to-back.
And the belly-to-belly.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
As it paid off dividends immediately. That was on Mets Odyssey Radio. Mets would win 7-3 in that second game. Brandon Nimmo talking about his grand slam.
Just try and get the barrel to the ball. Definitely not trying to hit a home run there. He's already supplying a lot of the power with that velo. So. Just trying to keep it really short and simple. And
he did, and he is Jacob Mizorowski is who he's talking about. Kid throws 101 miles an hour and did supply the power. Nimmo just
he hung that slider, right? Because it was 96. He's throwing his slider, just hung it there for Nimmo. So
sure did, and crushed it. Now, during the game, we found out that Francisco Lindor is indeed a All-Star Game starter. Here he was on SNY afterwards.
You guys made me an All-Star, so much love, much respect, and... My teammates helped me a lot, my coaches as well, and Katia and my girls, my boy too, we going to Atlanta, we an All-Star, so we did it. Thanks to you guys, much love.
So it was kind of cool, first time as a Met that he is going there. Now, earlier in the day, the Mets lost 7-2. They were leading in this game, and Clay Holmes was taken out of the game, and then Reed Garrett gave up the grand slam to Joey Ortiz. Here was Holmes asked about being pulled at the 90-pitch mark.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you never want to get pulled. You want to keep going. But, it's definitely a judgment call. It's not really my call. Can't control it.
Well, here was Carlos Mendoza. Why?
We're up 1. He's approaching 90 pitches there. Once he... walks Yelich to lead off the inning, I knew I was going to, I was going to just give him Churyu regardless. He got Churyu out, and, that was it.
That was it. So it did not work out so good. They settled for the split. That having been said, help may be on the way. Sean Manaea did pitch for the Rumble Ponies yesterday. He was asked how he felt afterwards.
Yeah, results aside, I just felt good enough. I think it's been like 10 days or something like that. So it was nice to get back out there. But yeah, as of right now, I feel good. So
that's positive because we all.
So do you think we see him before the All-Star break or no?
Well, we got another 2 weeks. Yes, I think so. I think you'll see him right before the All-Star break. We shall see.
Tonight, they need him.
They do need him. David Peterson, Jose Quintana, the starters tonight. The Dodgers beat the White Sox 5-4, 3,000th career strikeout for Clayton Kershaw, witnessed by one Dave Roberts.
I think it just happened the way it's supposed to happen, in the sense that it was a third out. We got a chance to really celebrate him to take the moment. Will Venable and the White Sox and Wolfie and the umpires did a great job giving Clayton his time. So it was a huge moment, and really happy for Clayton.
Only the 20th pitcher in the history of the game to get to 3,000 strikeouts. Freddie Freeman, the game-winning RBI single in the ninth to make it even a more special night. Now, the Tigers and Nationals also played two. They split two as well. In the nightcap, the Nationals were up 9. I think it was 9-4, something like that. So they're pretty much about to close it out. And another one of these guys makes just a great play. This is Nationals radio as Riley Green is up for Detroit.
Fastball driven in the air to deep center field. Back goes Jacob Young to the wall. He climbs the wall, and he caught it. Oh, my goodness. He robbed him of a home run. Do you believe it?
Well, I do because I saw it. He scaled the wall, went up, took it away. Kind of neat. So Washington's actually had a nice season as they beat the Tigers in that second game. And then the Cubs beat the Reds 5-4. You know who threw out the first pitch?
Where was this game?
Chicago, Wrigley Field. That's
Cubs
not going to help
or Reds.
You. It's
yeah,
not going to help me.
It's not going to help you, though.
1K Adams.
Oh, okay. Adams.
So she was supposed to throw out the first pitch the night before, but had to go to Arizona for an interview or something. The Cubs allowed her to do it the next day, and here she was on her way to do so.
I was scratched last night. A little elbow soreness. I don't know what my ERA is. I literally threw three balls with my nieces this weekend.
How do you think it went? Did you see it? I guess you didn't see it.
I did not see it, no.
A little up and out and short.
Up and Adams?
Up and Adams and short, yes. It was a, yeah. Wasn't one of the worst, but it was not one of the best either. So that was kind of a neat moment for her. And shut up. That was a misspeak. Relax. Relax.
He
I'm
can't.
Totally relaxed. I'm completely relaxed.
By the way, why did you make that noise? That was today. What was that?
I think I was doing my impersonation of me not being able to breathe on the golf course.
No, I don't think it was.
Okay, I don't know.
Was that something to do with chicken wings?
Probably. I don't know. I do a lot of talking out here, man.
I'm just wondering.
I mean, we do so much talking that sometimes you say...
I'm just trying to get the conversation away from me mistakenly saying whore. Which I did not mean to say. I meant to say her. Good Lord. So if I have to just keep playing this.
I think I made that noise when you said whore.
It was a mistake. Oh, clearly yes, a mistake.
Yes.
Clearly. So that's it. I got nothing on
it. And by the way, you know, we were talking about how the Mets got blistered by the Pirates, right?
30-4.
Yeah, the Pirates just swept the St. Louis Cardinals.
They're on a roll.
They are on a roll.
Wow.
Well, they fired their manager, what, about 3 weeks ago? Something like that, too? And they've played well.
That's the Pittsburgh native former major leaguer Don Kelly, now the manager.
Right. So. Was it Derek Shelton before that?
Yes.
So they've played better.
Yeah, Milwaukee had beaten the Pirates 2 out of 3. Then the Mets came in, got whitewashed, and then they just swept the St. Louis Cardinals at home. Now they go back out on the road, and we'll see what happens. Nine games on the road.
So 6 wins in a row, and they're still 12 games under 500.
Yes.
Wow. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Thursday, July 3rd. Of course, with the big July 4th holiday coming up, we've been talking
a lot of baseball
and Knicks and other stuff.
I do have a message for you. Yeah. Some people are very upset. Our song in 1979 was not basic. It was classy.
Okay.
All right. So just shut your pie hole over there.
You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, as you know, and it could be classy and basic at the same time.
It's not basic. It's classy. Oh,
I mean, that's a losing battle.
We were a classy bunch back in 1979.
You might have been, but you decided on a basic song.
So. It's not a basic song, and I had nothing to do with it, by the way.
What would you have chosen?
I would have Stairway to Heaven.
Okay, sounds good. All right, let's go to Nicole in New Jersey. What's up, Nicole?
Good morning. Happy Friday. Holla!
Happy almost exactly Friday, right, but yes, holla to you
as
well.
It's kind of like Friday. It's like a Friday, little
Friday.
Yeah.
Little Friday. Yesterday was my Friday for the first time in a very long time. But anyway, Gio, you and I were both class of 2000, and I think it was the Sleepy Douchey Green Day song, Time of Your Life,
that's another one. Yes. How could I forget? Yes. How could I forget that
the
one?
The Sleepy Douchey, generation. That's what you guys were known as.
Not really. That was Nirvana and Metallica.
Yeah, so Green Day wasn't a full Sleepy Douchey band at all, but that song for sure touched the Sleepy Douchey line. But it was another one of the basic ones. And thanks, Nicole. Another one of the basic ones like the Time of Your Life and the Maroon 5. So you know this one, obviously.
I hope you have the time of your life. Need Adam Sandler to sing this.
I actually liked Green Day back in the day. Really liked some of the great songs, but this is a tough listen.
They even use this on like
when Seinfeld ended, the cast coming out and taking their bows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is right. This is 100%. Like, there's also, yeah, there's a couple of them, like I said, like traditional wedding songs, like Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night. When it's like this stuff, the memory nostalgia stuff, there is a bucket. It's got about four songs in it, and they just keep recycling them. Keep recycling them. All right, let's go to Zach in Connecticut. What's going on, Zach?
Boomer and Geo.
Zach. Oh,
yeah. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, so my wife gave birth, I guess, yesterday, 3 o'clock in the morning, July 2nd.
I guess yesterday. But by the way,
you know, it's an early morning.
She couldn't have held on a couple days?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess she's not that much of a patriot. What do you want, what do you want from me?
Well, congratulations, yes, Zach. That's amazing.
Yeah. He's 9 pounds. His name is Bo. Bo Izzo. No relation to your digital.
Wow, Bo. There you go. Zach, Bo Izzo. Like it.
Bo's going to win a lot of fights, man. Came out 9 pounds, named Bo Izzo. You got yourself a bruiser right there.
That's right. Yeah, so 3 o'clock in the morning last night, I was watching it happen, just like my man Dukes over there.
Yeah.
I was hoping you guys were going to put me on during Jerry's update, because I like when you guys take callers in there and he just sits there and pouts the whole time like a little baby. He's looking at himself in a monitor. Oh, no one wants to talk to me. I prepared all these little cuts for myself and everybody. But thanks, guys. I was giggling all night. You guys kept me entertained in the morning. I listen to you every day. So.
Awesome.
All
right, thanks, Zach. Thanks, we appreciate that. I mean, that is that's pretty good for someone to be able to watch their wife give birth and put us on and be able to laugh. I think that's what we're here for. I'm sure she was thrilled to hear us talk about the Mets injuries and loose bodies and fart and penis jokes. Sure, she was loving all of that. Let's go to James in East Northport. What's going on, James?
Hey, what's up, Gio? How you doing?
Good, James. What's up?
None. Were you aware of that big ceremony that was going down in your area in Sayville for that 9/11 hero?
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy last night.
Yeah, last night I didn't see it. There was Wednesday there was a huge fireman's funeral coming out of the DeAndrea, Rainer DeAndrea, and they had the flag up. Was that for the same one as last night?
Yeah, he was actually a MTA transit cop, but he also created like all these things in with like the ambulance workers. I mean, there was like countless companies at it and the salutes.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he definitely did in your area, he helped finance that Navy SEAL Museum.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work with the Navy SEAL Museum. I don't think that I ended up meeting him.
You need a name.
I got to look into it to make sure because I was there for the opening of the Navy SEAL Museum. I was there for their big gala and I emceed their big gala.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I might have met him, but yeah, no, I remember asking. He just told me his name on Wednesday.
I know his name. I can tell you. His name is Jamie Atkinson.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. That was yes. All right, James.
And he also created at the Sable High School 3 scholarships to Notre Dame, like some kind of fund or something. I mean, among a million other things, you know, Boomer. I mean, you know, he's hanging out with like the Narcs. This was like a real bad, you know, being funny, of course. But you should really look into him. I mean, this guy, I'd never seen such accomplishments. And, he was a family friend, we're friends. So, my in-laws are really close with them.
How old was he?
I think he was 43. He's my age, because I was class of 2000. I think he's maybe a year older.
Yeah, I knew he was young. I thought maybe 50s, but yeah, wow.
Because I think he was, if I'm not mistaken, but it was like, I think 19 or 20 when during 9/11. So that makes sense, right? That's not how old we were.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty crazy.
And
it was
cancer.
I mean, they had the helicopter.
It was cancer it was cancer that came on suddenly. Is that what it was?
I would imagine, that's what it was. It's definitely was something like that.
It's horrible,
among
man.
Other things, but
it's horrible.
Yeah, but I just had to ask because because they had a thing at the Poorly Villager and the whole thing, and they had a helicopter fly. But I was like, how did I know about this?
It's funny because I did not know until Wednesday, and then that's when I was given the whole heads up on it from my buddies. But I got to become more familiar with him. I mean, it seems like a true inspiration, local guy who did a lot, and anybody who was a big part of that Navy SEAL Museum, someone that, you know, I respect. So, yeah, tough one. Sorry for your loss there, James. I'm definitely going to learn more about his life because I wish I knew.
Yeah,
I wish I
was able to. Thanks for, you know, chatting about it because I just feel like, you know, because you guys are going for the holiday. I normally don't call the show, but I felt it was a good thing to kind of bring up. Because,
no, 100%, James.
I've never seen, and the salute that was coming out, the helicopter flyover, it was tremendous. I've never seen anything like that, so.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, have a great 4th of July.
All right, thanks. You too, James. Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was barely home. I got home around 7 o'clock because I had the whole situation with the city MD and everything else. But I did see the previous day. You know, it's really amazing what they do outside of Rainier D'Andrea, Montauk Highway, you know, and they put it, you know, hanging the big flag off the giant fire trucks and everything. So when you see that, you know, someone that was really respected.
That is total respect is what that is.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Chris in Connecticut. I mean, sorry, Lenny, hold on one second. We'll get right to you. Chris in Connecticut, what's going on, Chris?
Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's happening, Chris?
Not much. Just wanted to wish you guys a happy 4th of July, and thank you. Down in Belmar, Jerry arranged for a picture of you guys on the stage during one of the breaks for my son, who's currently deployed.
Yeah.
And he's a huge fan of the show. I sent it to him, and he snapped us back a couple of days later with Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah. you totally made his day. It was so cool, and I just want to make sure I thank you guys for it and wish you a happy 4th.
Oh, happy 4th to you, too, Chris. It was a pleasure meeting your son there. Great guy. I do remember that for sure when Jerry brought him up to the stage. And on a special holiday, too, like Memorial Day weekend, a time of remembrance for people, obviously, who have passed in battle and those who are, serving and the veterans as well. You got to think about. So that was a really cool moment for us as well. So I'm glad you called today. I'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. I know Lenny in Florida has been hanging around with his Pete Crow Armstrong take. I'm sorry, Lenny. I tried to get you in there. We will get you in the 9 o'clock hour. There's nothing more I want to talk about than Pete Crow Armstrong and his success there with the Chicago Cubs.